CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Thursday's edition of After Every Man an Answer. Glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you as we set aside every hour this afternoon, weekday afternoons at this time, to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible. If you've got a question you'd like to ask us, that number to call again, 8888-ASK-CSN. We've got some lines open. If you want to call right now, you're assured to get on today. Joining me today, special guest and co-host, Leo Giovanetti, Mission Valley Christian Fellowship in San Diego, California. Hi and welcome, Leo.
Mike, it feels so good to be healthy, to be with you and everybody. And I want to especially thank everybody who's going to our refreshed website. To Every Man an Answer. I think you're going to love it. You're going to enjoy it. The stories are new. And people are posting unbelievable testimonies of how God has used CSN for years in their life. And the big question of the day is, how can they get a hold of your new Bible study in Revelation? They said they get the old ones, but they want the new ones because everyone's all excited that you're back in the pulpit. And they're just so blessed to see you teaching the book of Revelation. So what do I tell them, Mike?
Well, the best place to go is to go to the River Christian Fellowship, and that's the place you'll find us. Just go to our website, riverchristianfellowship.com, and you'll find us there, and it's always a good thing to do. And also joining us, we have with us Daryl Skinner, Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. Aloha, Daryl.
Aloha, Mike, and aloha, Leo, and all the listeners out there.
Hey, aloha.
There you go. Wait a minute, I'll stop doing the hula. Okay, Leo. Hey, it's great to be with all the folks out there listening to CSN, looking forward to the program, and praying always for folks to come to Christ, to know Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior, as well as to build up the body of Christ in the faith through the Word of God. So it's great to be with you guys.
Always a blessing to be with you too, Daryl, and thanks so much for joining the panel today. We always enjoy that. You know, Leo, a lot of stuff going on in the Middle East. What's the latest from Israel?
Well, the latest from Israel is they're very upset because of America has now joined Europe in marking all of the products that come out of what they call the West Bank or the occupied territory. And you and I know Jesus called it Judea and Samaria. He didn't call it the occupied territory. And all of the land belongs to Israel. But according to Europe, they put a ban and no longer can Israel send out products saying it was made in Israel. They have to distinguish if it came from the settlements or the West Bank. And America was staying out of it. And all of a sudden, our president, who the other day spoke in, you know, remembrance of the Holocaust and everything, and he said, we're all Jewish, and, you know, we all have to, you know, stay away from hating people and denying them their rights. And then the U.S. issues labeling rules on Israeli products from the West Bank. But the last time the U.N. did this, you're going to love this. It backfired on the Europeans because the products that come from Israel are such high quality that the Europeans didn't have to, you know, fumble through everything. They'd see the stamp and know, oh, that comes from Israel, and buy it. So it turned out to blow up in their face. But that was terrible. And then again, Iran is stopping U.S. ships in the Straits of Hormuz, and you know that's right where they go up to get the oil from Iran and Iraq. And so that's scary stuff that America is being crippled by Iran. Kerry just stated that the world's going to be a safer place, and we're having more trouble at sea as Iran expels U.S. ship and jet out of the Straits of Hormuz. And so that is really weird, but this is the one that you called, and it's the story that is probably the saddest one. You said these are your own words, when the government starts killing its own citizens, it's the beginning of the end.
Yep.
And that's exactly what happened at the Bundy Ranch. Now, the government has their own story on it, but if you go to the man who was shot, his wife's Facebook page, she recorded the whole thing on her phone. And her husband got out of the truck because the FBI stopped them, and he put his hands up, and he said, I'm going to the sheriff's office to report an injustice, so would you please let me through the brigade? And they told him no, and he had his hands up, and so he said, well, either let me go to the sheriff's office or shoot me, and he turned around to get back in his truck, two headshots, killed him right in the truck, and then they didn't stop firing because his wife and his kids were still in the truck, and they kept firing into the truck, and the wife got hit and had enough decency to get the kids on the floor. But you said it yourself. Mm-hmm. When the government starts killing its own citizens, it's the beginning of the end, and it happened.
And when the government is wrong, that's the worst part. You
yeah.
know, they put this poor, these couple other guys in jail because they burned some weeds off of their property for 5 years, and then they said that wasn't enough. And so you look at the insanity of what our government, you know, and by the way, when you talked about pulling over the boats going through the Straits of Hormuz, I thought, man, we ought to hire Iranians and put them on our southern border. There's a thought.
Yeah, well, they already are there.
They're already there, but no, it is, and it is a complete different story. The government doesn't want you to know the truth, and we have real problems. I think everybody. I think this is why, as an example, I'm not endorsing candidates. I don't do that, but I think that's why Donald Trump's popularity is so good, because I think he's very vocal about being fed up with government. I think everybody is.
Yes.
I think, you know, when you do your income tax, you see and you realize that, you know, a huge percentage of America doesn't pay any tax, nothing, but yet everybody enjoys the same benefits. And when you look at our, you know, people brag about, oh, how wonderful the economy is now. That is completely bogus. Do you realize that we're $19 trillion in debt above what already is allocated in the future for payouts? Now, when you stop to think about that, if in the stimulus package back several years ago, had they just give every working American $300,000. That would have been cheaper than the bailouts that they all performed, all this
yeah,
other stuff.
Yeah.
$300,000. Imagine what that would have done to the economy. Man, you'd had people buying airplanes and cars and houses and everything else. But again, when you have this going on, we see, unfortunately, what happened down in Texas with the Planned Parenthood going in to really be indicted by a grand jury, and then what happens is the people that did the news reporting are the ones that got arrested, and so you realize that it's extremely corrupt. This is why government isn't good, is because it's always corrupt. And we look down through the history of ages, and you can see all the way through how all this stuff goes on. But I don't have to tell anybody that. I think everybody knows that. I don't think that's any big surprise.
Yeah.
But
the
point,
Mike,
to remember.
Where are you?
The point,
where are you in the book of Revelation right now?
We are in 17.
Okay.
And what that is, the collapse of the religious and political system that we find globally controlling. And again, man's government is always inferior to God's. I mean, if you're going to do it God's way, then we go back and we look what the Bible has to say. But if you're not going to do it God's way, it isn't long, it doesn't work. Margaret Thatcher said socialism works great till you run out of everybody else's money. So when you look at is going on now, these crazy ideas, vote for me, everything is free, free, free. Well, you know, you're in trouble.
Well, The reason I ask you was this just came out. I posted it on our To Every Man and a website. It comes from an Israeli newspaper called Aretz, which means the land, and it's a very credible news site. And the story is Chinese president calls for East Jerusalem as the capital of the Palestinian state. And we know that the kings of the East will be destroyed. We know there's going to be a massive Chinese-led invasion of the Middle East. The Bible warns us in Revelation 9, verses 13 through 15, and Revelation 16, 12 through 16. And we know that the kings of the East are going to lead this, and their armies are going to join together. They're going to man a 2 million man army on the fields and come toward Israel. And I wanted you to know that it was in the newspaper yesterday.
Wow. Well, you know, somebody needs to explain to these countries what happens when you start a war, when you start a war and you lose. See, everybody seems to forget what happened there. You had this coalition of Arab neighbors. They came against Israel in the Six-Day War, and Israel whooped them, and whooped them big time. In fact, theoretically and technically, Israel owns all those countries. Jordan, Syria, part of Iraq, Lebanon,
Egypt.
It was Egypt that joined in the fight. And Israel, in just 6 days, had just decimated the entire region's military. That's when Sobrinin, who was Russia's spokesperson, like our John Kerry, came to Kissinger with a message and said, if you do not intervene and stop Israel from taking over the Middle East, Russia said, we will. So, interestingly enough, 1967 was almost the end. But understanding when you lose a war that you start, you lose land, you lose territory. And that's not occupied land as you hear. That is what they got when they won a war. And by the way, that war was purchased with Israeli blood. So when you start a war, you lose a war, you lose land. It was only gracious that the United States gave Japan back its sovereignty and gave back all these countries, whether it be the Philippines or all these other ones, because technically the winner takes all. That's the way it works in war. But unfortunately, this idea, well, we can start a war, and if we lose, there are no consequences. That's what they want, a war without consequence. Well, that's not the way it works. Israel doesn't see it that way. And I really believe anybody with an IQ 2 points higher than a doorknob could figure that one out as well. So
doorknob! Theologically speaking.
Theologically speaking, yeah. All right. So I'm sorry, you guys.
I love getting you wound up. I'm sorry.
But by the way, this whole thing over to Oregon, by the way, what the government's going to release is completely skewed versus what really happened. And again, all you have to do, my understanding is there were no shots fired from the Bundy group, but the trucks were riddled with bullets from our crazies out there that protect us. Let's go to Ann, Nevada. Hi and welcome.
Hi.
Hi, dear.
I have a question, something that has really confused me quite a bit. I believe that Jesus was, part of the Holy Trinity, is the part of the Holy Trinity, is one with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. But when he was on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I think that's the only time that he ever addressed God as anything but the Father. And if he is part of the Father, I don't understand why he was asking why he had been forsaken. I know it's a quote from Psalm 22, but it still confuses me. Could you enlighten me on this?
Yeah, sure. And here's what you find. Jesus was 100% God. He was 100% man. I don't know how you can be 200% of anything, but Jesus was. Oftentimes, you will find Jesus speaking as the Father in heaven. He that has seen me has seen the Father. When he said, you know, your sins be forgiven. And they all marveled and they said, only God can forgive sins. So Jesus sometimes would speak as God. However, we do find other times, whether it be in the Garden of Gethsemane or Jesus on the cross, you find the humanity of Jesus crying out. And I think that's very significant because that proves that he was the God-man, but also it proves that he could be our Savior because it's by one man, Adam, we all fell into sin. It's by one man, Jesus Christ, that we all get out of it. Your thoughts, Leo?
Well, one of the things that many of the rabbis say, Anne, is that the Bible had not been divided into chapter and verse yet. That didn't come along for years. And so when a rabbi would want to draw attention to a certain particular place in the Bible, he would quote the first chapter. And so many believe that as Jesus was dying on the cross to his disciples, he quoted the first verse of Psalm, what we call Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, you have to remember that Paul the Apostle explains it clearly to us in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, that though Jesus is God, for the purpose of making atonement, he humbled himself, he left his glory in heaven, and he came as a human being. So, yes, he was all human being, but he was God. But he humbled himself and didn't rule on earth as the supreme God Almighty, but as a man, because his purpose was to come and be the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And so many believe that when he started off and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Like a good teacher, he was pointing his disciples to read this verse because in Psalm 22, it describes crucifixion, and Psalm 22 was written before there even was a capital punishment of crucifixion that was ever used among the human race. And so that is one of the answers that you'll hear from theologians and Bible students, and whether it's, you know, the answer or one of many possibilities, we don't know, but those are the two big issues that are answered that way.
Darrell, any last thoughts?
No, you guys covered it well. One last thing, I would just say that Jesus in his humanity, you see it displayed. He's always in submission to the Father and representing the second Adam, as you shared, Mike. He's the second Adam. The first Adam had sinned. The second Adam had not sinned. And thus the Father, as Jesus took our sins upon himself on the cross, he had to turn away from his own Son. And that's where that separation took place. The darkness covered the area and so forth. And of course, at 3 o'clock, he was on the cross from 12 to 3. At 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cries out, Tetelestai, it is finished. And that means the price for sin has been paid. The Bible says that Jesus himself gave up his spirit. Thus, the price for sin is done, is finished. So this is the beauty of God's scriptures, always so perfect, always so detailed, always listing everything out for us as we search the scriptures. And, of course, Psalm 22, as Leo shared, is a beautiful psalm about the crucifixion of Christ, prophesied 1,000 years before Christ even came onto the scene with his hands and his feet being pierced and so forth. So, and we pray for all the Jewish people, read Psalm 22, study it. It speaks of your Messiah, the Lord Jesus, Yeshua, and for all the Gentiles. He is the Savior of our souls. Mike?
Hope that helps, dear.
It does. I also had another real quick question. I have recently attained a copy of what is called the Sefer Bible, which is supposed to be the Hebrew translation. And I noticed, I think it is Acts 29, they've got another verse of Acts in there. What are your thoughts on that?
Leo?
I'm not familiar with what's the name of the Bible?
It's called the Sefer Bible. It's
the Sefer.
Seeker.
Oh, the Seeker Bible. I don't know. I'm
Daryl,
sorry.
You got anything on it?
No, I don't. But I surely would not be adding extra verses to the Bible unless it's a, you know, maybe it's a commentary or something like that. But I'm very skeptical about all these new versions coming out. I think it's just versions so people can make money off the Bible and they add all their stuff to it. And a lot of that stuff, unfortunately, is not biblically based.
This is supposedly
a
Hebrew translation of the Bible. It's supposedly not a new one.
How is it spelt again? How's it spelt again?
It's C like cat, E like echo, P like papa, H like hotel, E like echo, R like Romeo.
I don't know anything about this. This is a new one for me, so we'll have to research it and let you know, dear.
Okay, then. And would it be possible for me to get a copy of your DVDs?
Yes, it is. Stay on the line, dear, and we'll fix you right up. Okay, Ann?
Okay, thank you
God
much
bless
for your
you.
Help.
Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Evelyn, Nevada. Hi, welcome.
Hi, amen. Thank you. This is a miracle to get on your show. my question is about, what was the dispute about Moses' body? Why did the prince of Persia want his body to know where he was buried?
Okay, Daryl, your thoughts.
You're talking about how Satan and the archangel had a dispute about Moses' body. Is that correct?
Right, yes.
Okay. Well, Moses is such a great deliverer of the children of Israel. Satan, I believe, wanted to use his body as a form of idolatry. God says, no, I'm going to remove Moses. Satan wanted to use Moses' body as a form of idolatry. And God says, no. So he removes Moses' body with the archangel. And, of course, we see in Jude that he says, the Lord rebuke thee to Satan. So we see this battle here. Now, it is interesting that later on in Scripture, with Jesus comes, we see Moses and Elijah there with the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And many believe that possibly Moses and Elijah may return to the earth there as the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. We don't know that for sure. We can't make that doctrine. But with the judgments that are brought forth, they're very similar to what Elijah and Moses brought forth during their lifetime. Leo or Mike, you want to add?
Anything left, Leo?
You know, it's one of those questions that, why did God do this? I don't know. You know, we could only, you know, take a good guess at it. But I think that what you said, Daryl, is the children of Israel had come out of Egypt, and all of the pharaohs, I've even been to the museum in Egypt and paid extra money to see some of the pharaohs that were embalmed, and people had a tendency to worship things like that. Hezekiah's mother worshiped that brass rod, and so he broke it and said, no, Stan, it's just an idol. And that would be a good guess, but, you know, the Bible doesn't say why Satan wanted it, so we're limited in, you know, just guessing and hoping that our guesses are good. But we don't know for certain why there was an argument over it. But, Daryl, that seems to be probably the best conclusion.
Hope that helps, Evelyn.
I thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Ron in Wyoming. Hi, welcome.
Good afternoon, and God bless.
How may we?
Looking for a short answer and biblical reference. My question is, if the rapture occurred tomorrow, would my 3-year-old granddaughter be raptured?
Are her parents Christians, or does she live with you?
She lives with me, and yes, we are Christians.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that's part of the promise there in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Your thoughts,
yeah.
Daryl?
Yeah, I agree 100%. It's right there, 1 Corinthians 7. And as you read about it, the Bible says there that your children are sanctified by the believing spouse. So if there's one believer, your children are sanctified, meaning God will take them up. Now, as they reach the age of accountability, which we're not exactly of that age, the Jewish folks, they have the bar mitzvah, and so forth, which is at the age of 13, a young child becomes an adult. Some call that the time of accountability. I've heard others say it was the age of 18 or 21. I think it's a little more accurate towards the teenage years. We see that. Jesus went to the temple when he was at that age. We have a scripture reference for that, so that's very probable. But as a born-again Christian, as one parent is a born-again Christian, then your child will go in the rapture of the church. God loves us, and he's going to take care of our kids.
Amen. Hope that helps.
It does. Thank you, gentlemen.
Ron, God bless you, and thanks so much for the call. That cannot be said, though. I will clarify something here. I do believe children, when they die, up to the time where they know what they're doing, I do believe that they go to heaven, whether there's a believing parent or not. However, when it comes to the rapture or comes to something like that, I believe that, again, we remember when the flood came, there was a lot of babies that died in the flood. However,
yes.
I believe when we talk about those in the family of God, I believe God looks at that different. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 indicates that it's different. And so I think there's special privileges that are extended to the believer concerning their immediate household. So, Ron, hope that helps. Let's go to, I don't think I can say this, Alejandro.
Alejandra?
How do we say your name in Texas? Hi, welcome.
Hello. Hey, this is Alejandro.
Alejandro. Okay.
It's like Alexander, but Alejandro is in Spanish.
I see. Alejandro, how may we help?
Okay. I had a question on abortion and where in Scripture it says something about it.
Yeah, it's pretty much through the Bible. And your thoughts, Leo?
Well, there's the thing in the 613 civil laws. After we have the Ten Commandments in Exodus, there's 613 civil laws. And there's a reference that if you get in a scuffle and with a woman and you kill the baby in her womb, then you're to be charged with that and whatever, you know, the husband and the wife agree to. But then there's a bigger way to look at abortion. And the way to look at abortion is the child in the mother's womb a person? And the answer is yes. And so if it's a person, the Ten Commandments that teach us, thou shalt not kill, and the word is murder. And so abortion would be considered murdering a person, even though it hasn't been birthed yet. Now, if you've been following the news, you know that there's a group of people that have been going into Planned Parenthood, and they've been secretly, you know, talking to them and telling them, you know, asking them questions about what they do. And they've actually been able to get film and actual, you know, confirmation that they try to harvest parts of the unborn baby to sell on the market. And that they try, in the last trimester, a late term abortion to bring out the baby intact so that they can sell the heart or sell the organs and do different things like this. And this is completely, completely heinous.
It's illegal. For some reason, Planned Parenthood is above the laws. This is why everybody's getting more and more angry with government. There's one set of laws for one group of people that the government likes, and there's another set of laws for people that they don't like. And this is why people are getting more and more mad. If they don't like you, they'll put you in prison for not paying your parking tickets. But you can murder somebody if you're of the right ethnicity, and you're completely exonerated. You can walk out on bail. This is why people are getting so frustrated. But when we go back to that question that you ask, I just like to add this. In the Bible, we find in Psalms 139:13, and I think this is probably, Alejandro, the best verse for you.
Yeah.
It says, For you created me in my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And he says, I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. So very clearly here in Psalms 139, 13 and 14, it tells us clearly that God had his hand on us in our mother's womb. And I think that's very important. And that's not up to somebody to snuff that out. And again, I understand, you know, somebody said one time, well, if it isn't a baby in the mother's womb, what is it? Well, it's a fetus. Well, how do you know that? It's a baby. In fact, they've had babies born premature that have lived just fine. So here's the problem that we run into. It isn't really concerning the mother. It's concerning the baby. And there was a video out called Silent Scream. Very well done. The pain that I'm sure this little fetus goes through, this little baby goes through when it's been ripped apart or aborted in one piece so that its parts can be sold off. Highly illegal. Nobody prosecutes it. They have video evidence. Rather than prosecuting and taking Planned Parenthood to the stratosphere, they persecute the people who expose their illegal deeds. You know, the right. Bible says, what is evil is good in the last days, and what is good is evil. I believe, friends, we are seeing that now on a manifold proportion. We see
magnitude.
Oh. Well, it comes from every aspect and of its great size. And whether we're dealing with labeling Israeli products or slaughtering babies and selling their parts or what other devious thing these people can think of, the devil is alive and well on the planet Earth. Hope that
and
helps.
Mike, hey, Mike, even in America, if you shoot a woman who's pregnant, you'll be charged with two murders. That's how crazy they are.
Yeah.
That's how ignorant they are. It's a civil law that if you shoot a woman and kill her and her baby, that you'll be charged with two murders, the one of the woman and the baby.
So,
if I could...
Go ahead, Mike, go ahead, Darryl. Go ahead.
I'll jump in from a little bit of the other side of the situation, the effects upon a woman. We have a pro-life center here in our church, and right now God has blessed us with the opportunity. We're saving about one baby every 11 days, the center is open, and it's very exciting to see happen. We also have counseling, a post-abortive counseling where a woman has had an abortion, and she comes in, goes through an 8-week course, and is given counseling from the Word of God, and she's set free from all the guilt. But women that have an abortion, they have a 50% higher risk of breast cancer than the women who have not had an abortion. Now, we have high rates of breast cancer in our country at this time. Why? Well, there's close to 60 million abortions that have taken place in America. Thus, you see the correlation. Now, there's also, so many women also can have babies after abortion because they're sterilized, or they have suffered tremendous infections within their body because the abortionist did not get all the parts out of their body. We had a girl, this is Sunday, we had a pro-life Sunday this past Sunday. She gave a testimony. It's on our website, Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor. And she described the abortion and how she was 14 years old, how they pierced her belly with a needle. And then she had felt the baby move more than it ever moved before. She was 26 weeks along. Her parents took her there because it just wasn't the right time for her to have a child. And she says the baby was moving the most she'd ever felt it. And the moment that needle went into her abdomen, she felt lifelessness in that baby. And this girl, for 10 years, she suffered with drug addiction and alcoholism and guilt, and she didn't know how to handle it. She had psychotherapy and so forth until finally she surrendered her heart to Christ. And it is Jesus Christ that healed her soul, healed her hurt, healed her body and her whole psyche, and she knows her baby is with Jesus in heaven and that she's forgiven. And this is the power of the positive message we have to offer this world with the healing power and hope of Jesus Christ for those that have had an abortion. So, yes, we're totally against abortion. This is a horrible Holocaust in America and across the whole world. But we've got to also have the answers to help those who've had the abortion say, Jesus will help you. Jesus will heal you. There's hope in Christ. You come to him, and he'll set you free. And so I wanted to share that other side, but it was such a powerful testimony. I tell you what,
there wasn't
a dry eye in the house. I was up there weeping at the pulpit and listening to her share. It was just, oh, my goodness. And when she said that baby, she felt nothing after that moment. And, oh, your heart just sank. And you just thought to yourself, this is murder. This is killing of babies. And we pray for the abortion doctors. We pray for all the nurses. We pray for all these clinics. We pray that they would have a heart for babies and that they would repent of their sins and they would turn to Jesus Christ and they would be saved. Amen? Amen. We don't want violence against anybody. Okay, no. So we don't want to ever be confused, Alejandro, by this. So, Mike, I'll give it back
to you. Hope that helps, Alejandro.
All right. Yeah, well, I have a little bit more to add to it. So I guess the morning after pill, would that be like the same thing? And also, what about like the new covenant that Jesus made? We are not bound by the laws anymore.
Well, that's not law. That's like saying, well, we're not under the law anymore, so let's just go out and start murdering people. I mean, Alex, the Bible says, Jesus said to love God with, they came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, what is the most important commandment? And he said to love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and spirit. And he said, the second is likened unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. So in other words, all the law that Jesus came to do, he said, it's all summarized in two. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, how can I say I love my neighbor if I step back and idly, first of all, allow an abortion to go on without saying something or allowing or doing that? I think that's what we have to look at. And so really the creed of the Christian is to love. And I think slaughtering babies is about as far opposite to that as you can possibly get. I hope that answers it for you.
You know what, Mike, if I could add one last thing. This morning after pill, girls are having sex and they're running down to their drugstore and they're getting these pills and they're taking them, every time they have sex because they're afraid of getting pregnant. It's going to have adverse effects in their bodies over time. And these are the things, once again, that they're not being told. And that's why, you need to be very careful of all this stuff that is being put out there when it comes to, the government's population control is what it is. And it's going to have its adverse effects. So everyone out there listening, if read up on these medications, read up on what are the side effects of these particular medications in the long haul as you would continue to take them.
Amen.
Just a word of advice.
And I hope that helps. If you stay in line, I'll send you a little book called It's Time to Grow and also a DVD called God of Wonders, and I think you'll enjoy that. Let's go to Matthew in New York. Hi, and welcome.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm the accent don't match the state because I was born and raised in North Carolina, but I've been here about 7 years. So, but 40 some years in the South ain't gonna rub off.
Nope.
The thing is, I teach a Bible study at my church.
Yeah.
And we're in Romans right now, and there's a lot there. But Tuesday night, Romans 8:28. If I could, I just want to read like two scriptures just so I can tell you what I'm talking about, because I can't articulate it myself. I'll just read it from God's Word. It says, and we know that all good things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be firstborn among many brethren. The part was raised up in a question. As a matter of fact, my daughter was at my Bible study or our Bible study, and she's 23 years old, so she's not a child. But she said, "Well, then predestined. So if God hasn't picked you, then there's no hope for you." And I was trying to explain to her and to everyone else, because it wasn't just her, but she brought the question up, that even though God predestined, I just need your thoughts on it, because I know that God would have that all of us be saved and none perish. But we make the choice. So,
all right. Mike, you have the greatest answer I've ever heard on this. Explain it.
Just because God knows the future doesn't stop every individual on this life from making their choices. I mean, what kind of a God would it be that would be surprised because he doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, is it any wonder that one third of the Bible is prophecy and predicting the future? The Bible tells us that God knows, lives in all times present. Now, I don't know anybody that lives that way. Somebody said one time, they said, well, if God already knows the outcome of how we all are going to choose and all those things, why do we have to go through this zoo we call living? Well, God's a legal God. And somebody might say, well, if I would have really lived my life, I would have chosen Christ. So instead of any of that kind of talk, God says, okay, everybody gets to live their life. But just because God knows the future doesn't stop any one of us from making the decisions we make. And the way a lot of times people read these, see, this is how cults are started and bad doctrine is formed. They take one verse or a couple of verses, completely disregarding all the other verses that pertain to the same topic. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It does not say that God so loved the predestinated ones, that only the predestinated ones who believe in him would not perish. See, it doesn't say that. It says, for God so loved the world that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But we can't punish God because he knows the future. And so from God's perspective, yes, we are predestined because he knows the choices we make. But that doesn't stop any individual from making those choices. And this is what the problems are I see with so many of the different religions and cults and Calvinism and Arminianism and all these different isms that are out there. You can't look at one verse and build a theology. And that, unfortunately, is what these people do sometimes, because they then take John 3:16 and obliterate it. It's just like it doesn't even exist. And so we understand then that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, not just the predestinated ones.
That's right.
But if we accept what he's done, then we're saved. If we reject what he has done, we're not saved. But God ultimately knows who did and who didn't. We don't. In fact, that's why Jesus said, go preach the gospel to every creature. I've seen people that are into the Calvinistic mentality of, well, everyone's predestinated, so you really don't even have to give an altar call, because those that are supposed to save some way, magically, by accident, will get saved. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. And again, they are completely running roughshod over the Bible, where it says that God sent his son for everyone. So we have to look at all the verses, come to our balanced conclusion, and understand then that we can't say, well, because those are predestined to go to heaven, we don't even have to even preach the gospel. We don't have to give altar calls. In fact, just keep your faith to yourself. That's the lie of the devil. And so we understand that, and we have certainly the illustration of the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, going out risking his own life to preach the gospel to those who would be saved. So again, I think, Matthew, if you just simply go back and explain, just because God knows the future doesn't mean that it limits anyone today from making the choices that we make. I hope that helps.
Yes, it does. And that's really pretty much what I said to her and spoke. And I not just her, like I said, there were some there that I even had someone speak up and say, well, this is the kind of topics that split churches. And I agree 100%, but the thing about it is, you said the other scripture. I mean, 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. So that right there tells you to start with that we are, we have free will, but God loves all of us and wants all of us to be saved. The predestined part is a scapegoat, I think, what people are trying to use it for, a scapegoat. Well, there's no sense in me trying because God won't love me anyway.
And well, Jesus also said in John chapter 1, as many as received him. If you don't receive him, then you don't get the promise. As many as received him, he gave authority to become sons and daughters of God, not by an act of flesh, but by an act of God. And if you're not born again, as he said to Nicodemus, who wasn't a drug dealer, he was a good, faithful, religious rabbi, you must be born from above. It's not enough to just be physically alive. You need to be spiritually alive. And as Mike says, when you put them all together, just because God knows and can predestinate, it doesn't exclude that you don't have responsibility. You still have responsibility to choose this day. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. If you hear his voice, accept him now. And if you choose not to, then you reap the consequences of that. And so they go together. It's both at the same time. And that's what I love so much about your example, Mike. You make it very clear. Just because God knows who's going to win the Super Bowl doesn't mean that the game doesn't have to be played. We don't know who's going to win it.
And God's got the Super Bowl tapes of all of our lives. He already knows it. So, it's not hard for him. You know, one of the things, this is the problem that you'll find. You'll have very nice, well-dressed people come to your front door, knock on your door, and they'll begin to show you all the verses in the Bible where Jesus was just a man. Cleverly, they leave out the verses where Jesus was God, that he is deity. And so you could actually bring people to the wrong conclusion. This is what these people do with this whole predestinated idea. They cleverly leave out the verses that say Jesus died for everyone. And so there's really no need for a church split any more than somebody would say, well, if you believe Jesus is God, we got the verses that say Jesus was a man. Jesus wept. Yeah, he wept. Well, yeah, and Jesus also said that he hath seen me as seen the Father. So what are you going to do with those verses? So understanding then, you have to look at all verses. This is the problem today, though, Matthew, that we find universally within the church and in pastors primarily, they teach the Bible that they've never read. They've never read it cover to cover. And because they haven't read it cover to cover, they're getting their sermons offline from their denomination or their own concoction, and they're imbalanced because they don't know the other verses that say, well, hey, wait a minute, if there's a verse that contradicts us, that's not a contradiction in the Bible. There's something here that we need to understand. Jesus was fully God. Jesus was fully man. That's what we have to come to conclusion of. So understanding that, that's how cults are started, because they take one verse and run with it. Now, Matthew, if you stand in the line, I'll send you a little book called It's Time to Grow, and also a DVD you can show to your Bible study. I think you'll enjoy that, okay?
Yes, thank you.
God bless you. Stay in line. We'll fix you right up. Let's go to Bill in New York. Hi, welcome.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Great. My wife and I are two conservative Christians from New York. We live in upstate New York. We were Catholics, and we are now born again, and we were baptized in the Lord a couple years ago. And I did have a kind of a current events question. I'm not sure if you had seen, I think it was in USA Today yesterday, where this Iranian president was visiting the Vatican with Pope Francis, and they showed them somewhere in the Vatican, kind of the picture was of them smiling and said they had reached
$18 billion
deal. And it makes me sick to my stomach when you know how the Iranians, I wondered if Pope Francis asked them about the treatment of women and other people in Iran and their hatred of Israel as well as the U.S., I think I've heard at one point where this Pope Francis was in favor of a one-world religion. Mm-hmm. And I will say one other thing. Since you had quoted Margaret Thatcher earlier, I believe Winston Churchill said, never cozy to tyrants.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts, Leo?
Well, I did see all of those writings on the Pope, and it is disturbing because you wonder, you know, why isn't the guy teaching the Bible? Why isn't he really rightly dividing the word of truth as a workman? And the answer is simply the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit, nor can he. And whenever we see a man, no matter how religious he might be, he might have Jesus tattooed on his forehead, he might walk on water, that litmus test is the Word of God. And when a guy goes against the Word of God, when a man goes against the Word of God, then you know he's not authentic. And it's heartbreaking because nobody wants to come out and be demonstrative, you know, and say the guy's a quack or he's a ripoff. I know there's cult groups that do, and, you know, the Illuminati's do, and I've read all about that. There's a black pope and all these different things. But it's really not what we've been called to do. We haven't been called to go out into the world and study all of the wrong things. We've been called to read the Word of God. I think, Daryl, did you ever hear the story how they teach the Treasury Department to spot a counterfeit dollar bill? They don't look at counterfeit dollar bills.
Sure.
They just study the real thing.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's the real key is we find the Word of God. Jesus said it's simple. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. He just eliminated all other religious teachers and religious systems. It's important for us that we cannot unite with Islam. It's impossible. There's a movement called Chrislam trying to unite Christianity and Islam. The $18 billion deal was done with the Italian government, and the Pope meeting with the ruler of Iran. It is already well known that going back to Pope John Paul II, that he literally kissed the Quran and found that we both, by saying also that we both, meaning Christianity and Islam, worship the same God. And no, we don't. They worship Allah, the moon god. And we worship the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is God incarnate. We worship Jesus. They even confess that Jesus is not the Son of God. So he's not begotten. So this, we have great differences, but this is the compromise of the Roman Catholic Church. And we pray that they would come to the saving knowledge of the Word of God from the Bible itself. And we pray for this. It's also been known that the Roman Catholic Church, along with the rest of the world, they want to make Jerusalem an international religious city where all religions will be represented. And that will take place in the last days during the Great Tribulation period. That's going to happen. So we must, as believers, stay in the Word of God, teach the Word of God in its fullness. No, we cannot join hands with other religious systems. We pray for folks. We don't hate people. We pray for folks, for them to come to Christ for salvation, but we can't join hands and say we are one. That the Bible does not give us that opportunity, neither does our Lord Jesus Christ. Mike?
Hope that helps.
It certainly does, and I thank you, and that was just what you hit on was what pretty much turned my wife and I off with the Catholic religion, among some other things, a few years back. And we're happy to be now, you know, received in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
And,
yes. Well,
in,
you know, Mike,
in a more biblical term, sense,
Mike, I've heard you say that. I've heard you say that there are innocent people in cults and Mormon churches, Jehovah's Witnesses, Catholic churches. There are innocent, ignorant,
yes,
naive people, mm-hmm, who are truly think they are seeking the Lord and possibly are saved. We don't know that. When Jesus gave the parable, enemy has come and he's planted weeds in my field of wheat. Should I pull them up? And Jesus said, no, let them grow up together. And in the harvest, they'll be separated. And that's why we don't do an all-out frontal attack against all cults and all different religions. We're here to read the Bible. And as you said a couple weeks ago, Mike, on the program, just to talk about the simple, pure love of Jesus.
Amen. Well, Bill, Amen. Hope that helps. Stay online. If you'd like a DVD, God of Wonders, and also a little book called Time to Grow, I think you'll enjoy it. Let's go to Lee in Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How may we help?
I'm in a Bible study, and one of the people in my Bible study brought up the thought that there's possibility that the story of Job could be before the garden. I've never heard that. I don't believe that. Just was looking for your thoughts on that.
No, it was absolutely not before the garden. Your thoughts, Daryl? 30 seconds.
Same thing. It's not before the Garden of Eden. It is one of the oldest books that we have. But it's not before the Garden of Eden, the whole experience, what the conversation, the people, and all these things. The Bible says The wages of sin is death. Death entered after Adam and Eve. So it's not a book that's before them. Otherwise, he wouldn't have died. So this is what we find. Mike?
Possibly after the flood. I mean, that would have to be after the flood, but probably before, even possibly before Abraham. So hope that helps. And we are out of time, and especially Juan and Sandra, Bill, please call us back. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. Daryl, thanks so much for being on today.
God bless.
Look forward to being back with you as well as you, Leo. And so until then, may the Lord watch over you, keep you in his love. And remember, keep reading your Bible. It's so important these days to live in the whole Bible.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man and Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man and Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.